Now, another passage that talks about this is 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. It says simply, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Now, again, the context is important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is comparing God's truth, and he calls God's truth the wisdom of God, and he compares it to man's truth, which he calls the wisdom of this age. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 is a familiar passage. Let me get there. I went the wrong way. Okay. Let me read it for you. I thought I had it up on the screen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this in verse 9 in the context of this idea. He says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Now, we often quote that passage in reference to heaven, but it's not in the context in reference to heaven. It's true about heaven, but he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about Scripture. Look at verse 10. But what are the things? The things we haven't seen, the things we haven't heard, the things that haven't entered in the heart of man, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Now, what has God revealed to us through his Spirit? He has revealed to us the truth of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that was given to us by the Holy Spirit. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, when Peter says no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, that word interpretation really has the idea of unloosing something, of setting something free. So the Bible wasn't unloosed by the will of man, or by the mind of man, or the ideas of man. It came from the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit guided the writers of Scripture into the truths of the Word of God. And so we have all of these wonderful truths in God's Word that are, without the aid of the Holy Spirit, would never have even entered into our minds. Do you think the wonderful truth that Jesus would come and be born of a virgin would have even entered into the mind of a man if God hadn't already told us that? Do you think that the truth that Jesus would go to the cross and die a gruesome, horrible death on the cross so that we can be forgiven, do you think that's how we would have conceived of salvation if it had not been told us by God? I don't think so. So all of these wonderful truths that in verse 9 we've not even thought about have been given to us in the Word of God. That's made clear, I think, in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians when he says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor how can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Unsaved man, that's you and I before we come to Christ in our natural way. Unsaved man would not even receive the idea that Jesus would die on the cross so that we can be forgiven. That goes against everything we stand for, everything we believe, everything that we think. A person commits a crime, they should pay for their actions. But we committed the greatest crime of all in the rejection of God, and Jesus paid the price for us. And then he says in verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Paul's point is simply that we are to have the mind of Christ. He says that in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 2, but we have the mind of Christ. When you think like Christ, then you are able to make right judgments. And God expects all of us to have the mind of Christ. He says very clearly, we have the mind of Christ. How well we use it is another issue. but we are to think like Christ so that we can make correct moral judgments. So far from the Word of God prohibiting moral judgments, the Bible encourages Christians to make moral judgments with these two qualifications. Your life is free from unconfessed sin. You are making those judgments with the mind of Christ. Now, knowing all of that will not change how unbelievers look at us. You can be free from unconfessed sin. You can be right with God. You can be thinking with the mind of Christ, and you're still going to be criticized for being judgmental. So when we disagree with the immorality of our culture, when we disagree with the moral stance that people have taken in our culture, whether it's abortion, whether it's the homosexual agenda, whatever it might be, what are we to do? Carrie Newwolf is a pastor in Toronto, Canada, who has done a lot of writing. I've read a number of his things, and he has talked about the fact that having a judgmental spirit, and that's really what we're talking about, having a judgmental spirit. He says a judgmental spirit in the Christian is contrary to five things in the Christian life, and I want you to write these down. The first thing that a judgmental spirit is incompatible with is love. He said in his article that I read, he said, the presence of judgment almost always guarantees an absence of love. We've all known people who are judgmental. Some of us fight that in our own lives. I fight that in my life. You know that when you are being judgmental, or you know when someone else is being judgmental, the whole concept of love is just absent. It's just not there. He's talking about a judgmental spirit that harbors unconfessed sin, a judgmental spirit that is not thinking with the mind of Christ. Because once we confess our sin, and once we're thinking with the mind of Christ, that's going to change our judgmental spirit into a spirit of love. The second thing that a judgmental spirit is incompatible with is help. Most Christians who have a judgmental spirit are the last ones who will come and help someone who is going through spiritual problems, going through spiritual high water, because we look not at their need, but at why they got there. I remember years ago in my previous church that there was an individual that we had helped several times. And from our perspective, we couldn't see an effort on their part to change their life. They were in poverty. They were in dire need. And I remember helping them, and it might have been the third or the fourth time, and someone in the church got upset about it. We shouldn't be helping that person. They chose that life. They did this and this and this to get to that life. If we only help those people who deserve our help, we're never going to help anyone. And to take it one more step, if God only helped those of us who deserve it, you knew that was coming, didn't you? If God only helps those of us who deserve it, we're all in for hell. Agree? Anybody want to agree? None of us would be saved because none of us deserved his help. And so having a judgmental spirit and trying to say they are in that particular situation because they did this and this and this and this is contrary to a spirit of help. Pastor Carey said the Christian purpose of stepping into someone else's world is not to judge them, but to help them. A judgmental spirit is also incompatible with humility. Humility examines my own eye before it tries to take the speck out of your eye. Carrie Newwolf says, judgment is never grounded in humility. If I'm really humble before I criticize you, before I refuse to help you, I'm going to fall down before God and say, God, except for your grace, that's me. A judgmental spirit drives people away. It doesn't pull them close. Do you know what humility is? Humility is one sinner helping another sinner. That's all it is. Humility is one undeserving person trying to help another undeserving person. I have never met a person with a judgmental spirit who is a humble person. You probably haven't either. The two things just are not compatible with each other. Newsflash. God is looking for humble people, not judges. A judgmental spirit is also incompatible with prayer. Let me read another quote from the article by Pastor Carey. Judging someone and praying for someone are pretty much mutually exclusive. A judgmental spirit is a spirit of condemnation. It is not a spirit of prayer. And on the other side of that, when you pray for someone, you're probably not going to criticize them. You're not going to judge them. You're not going to condemn them. And finally, a judgmental spirit is incompatible with evangelism. God saved you and left you here on this earth to tell people about Jesus. Otherwise, when he saved you, he could have just taken you right to heaven. But he left you here for a reason. And that's to tell people about Jesus. But so often as Christians, we get caught up in judging the moral failures of our culture that we forget our main purpose. I don't know about you, but do you remember a number of years ago, the, quote, pastor from out in the Midwest who wore the cowboy hat, and he stood outside of funerals of veterans and held up signs that were nasty and had his family there with him and his followers were there with him and you know, you use a word like fags and you're going to hell. And I was ashamed to be a Christian, I'll tell you that. That's not what God's looking for. Our main purpose is not to stand up outside on the highway and hold up signs that demean people and say nasty things to people. Our main purpose is to tell them about the love of God, to tell them about Jesus. I was talking to a man recently, and he was very vocal about the fact that he could not find a real church in Berks County, and he had visited all kinds of them. Churches that if I named, you would know them. And as I got in the conversation with him, I learned what he meant by that. You see, the way he judged churches was not based on their faithfulness to the Word of God. It was not based on their effort to reach people with the gospel. His standard to judge a church was based on their public stance against abortion, or their public stance against the homosexual agenda, or a public stance against the immorality in our culture. It was based upon whether or not the church sent people to Washington, D.C. to participate in the March for Life, or whether we stood outside along the highway and told people if they got abortions, they were going to hell. Essentially, his definition of a church was based on how vocal and active in moral and political issues the church was. Now, I'm not against the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I'm not against Christians or churches standing up for their moral beliefs. But never forget why we were left here. Never forget that the church is here, that Christians are here to evangelize the world. You are not going to change the world by marching in Washington, D.C. You're just not. The world is going to be changed one heart and one life at a time as we tell them about Jesus. And they will never listen to us if we come across with a judgmental spirit. Sometimes people accuse us of being judgmental as Christians, and sometimes we deserve that, and sometimes we don't. As Christians, we need to stand up for our moral values, but we need to do it in a spirit of love. We need to do it in a spirit of humility. We need to do it in a spirit of prayer. And remember that our most important job is to win people to Jesus. The most important thing you can do as a Christian is to tell someone about Jesus. And you're never going to have the opportunity to do that if they think you have a judgmental spirit. There's a conflict between the culture in which we live and the culture that we belong to as Christians. Now, as I've said several times, we have a foot in both worlds, and that's true, and that makes it very, very difficult. And over the centuries since the church began, there have been some who have tried to solve this dilemma by going off on their own, by becoming hermits, by going off and living in the desert as a monk, by having their own communities where only Christians can live there, and none of them have worked. Jesus said, we are in the world, we're just not to be of the world. We are in the world as citizens of heaven. And we need to be moral in the way we live. We need to be moral in the way that we talk. We need to be moral in the way that we present ourselves. But we should never be judgmental. Do you get where I'm going with this? We need that spirit of love, humility, and prayer. Father, forgive us when we have been more condemning of the speck in someone else's eye than we have been condemning of the great sin in our own life. Forgive us for railing against our culture when we are not living with the mind of Christ. Forgive us for thinking that changing laws and changing behavior is more important than a heart that is changed by Jesus. Lord, help us to be people who are not judgmental in the worst sense of that word, but to be people who are concerned about changing someone's heart by telling them about Jesus Christ and how much God loves them and how they can be forgiven, as we sang this morning, to be forgiven, and how they can be right with God. Lord, help us not to be the Holy Spirit in this world. Help us simply to be people that you can use, sinners, going to other sinners, to tell them where the bread of life can be found. I pray in Christ's name, amen.